All right, we are into hour number three. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, so I want to react to the interview we just had with Jimmy Ward. Well, I'm going to react after I read some of your reaction. John D for three tweets. Wow, great interview with Jimmy freaking Ward. Damn. This one says, Rome, I'm SF born, SF Peninsula raised. I haven't heard a Niners DB give so much great playing insight since Bruce Taylor, Jimmy Johnson, and eventually Ronnie Lott. Thanks for the JW interview. Mike and Snowbird. Jim, I love guests who are thoughtful and honest. Mr. Ward did not give the stock answers or even the answers you were looking for. Great interview. Larry in Albany. All right, a couple of things there. Number one, I was not looking for any answers. All right, I don't have an agenda. I don't know what you mean by that. I don't know if you meant that generally, but I agree with you. I love guys like Jimmy Ward, and I love them for a number of reasons. I love them, number one, is because they don't give stock answers. They don't give a stock interview. I know that a lot of you think that some of the interviews tend to run together because guys won't say anything anymore. And then you wonder, like, what are they doing there? Why are they on? Why are you putting them on? Or why are they consenting to be on if they won't give you anything at all? And I really don't have a good answer for that. I really don't. Like, I think that everybody we put on has the potential to be an interesting, insightful interview that's going to elevate the conversation and make it better. I'm not putting guys on just to put guys on. I'm not putting guys on just to take oxygen or real estate. I'm not putting guys on because I'd rather talk to them than talk to you. I'm putting people on because I'm hoping they're going to make it better. And the honest answer is they don't always do it. That guy did. And I don't want to say like guys like that do, because there aren't very many guys like that. The thing that I appreciate about Jimmy, number one, he's got an edge. He's got an edge. He still has that chip on his shoulder. He's still kind of raw. In fact, he's very raw. There was a great quote that I didn't read. I asked him about Richard Sherman, and I said, what made him so different as a player and so unique? And he was kind of chomping at the bit to say, yeah, now, Sherm's a different dude, and here's why. Here's a great quote, though. Jimmy said, quote, and I didn't ask him this quote, but he's on record as saying this, quote, if I got to be an a-hole, I'll be an a-hole. If I got to be a big brother, I'll be a big brother. If I got to be a coach, I'll be a coach. Like, what he's saying is, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to lead these guys on this team. I'm going to do whatever I have to do and say whatever I have to say to make us better. And he's living it, man. And he's a damn good player. That's a guy who walks the walk. He's done everything. He's played multiple positions. And he shows up to the facility with that fire, with that edge. And then he can come on a show like this, and he can say things. And he, if he's thinking it and it's bothering him, he's going to say it. I mean, that was such a real thing to say. Like, when I was a young guy and the GM came up to me and said, hey, man, you don't even know how to play cover three. I'm sure what he wanted to say is, the hell are you talking about? Man, do you even know what we're doing here? That was not my fault. But he also knew, as a young guy, he didn't have that kind of leverage or that kind of authority or that kind of respect. And he didn't want to go to the media. Hey, idiots, y'all don't know the game. That was not my fault. That was my teammate's fault. But I'm not going to run my teammate under the bus. Like, that was a really raw, honest thing to say. Guys don't say that. And he also carried that with him for years because he knew he really shouldn't say that. But did you hear what he said? He goes, those guys are no longer on this team. So I'm not running anybody under the bus. And I'm not going to mention anybody by name, but yeah, I took a lot of heat at that time and kept my mouth shut to be a good teammate, to do the right thing. Yeah, that was a really good interview. Man, if everybody were like that, then we would all have like great interviews always. But that's what makes guys like that special and different. They're not all like that. All right, this keeps coming up. I want to address this again. Van Smack, I've coached for 15 years. Why do I feel like I've got another Ricky in Tampa moment coming? This guy's actually
kind of ridiculous. Nicholas.
I don't agree with this guy, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute, but it's reasonable what he's saying, at least the way he lays it out. Van Smack, I've coached for 15 years. I cannot imagine leaving a team with a shot at a national championship looming. And frankly, it speaks a bit poorly of LSU that they could not wait a week. It's a week. Wouldn't recruits be more interested in coming to LSU with a new coach who just had a national title shot? I don't get it. Jason in West Des Moines. All right, again, I think that you think, in respect to you, Coach, but I disagree again. This whole thing about it's only a week. What's a week? Recruiting is the thing that matters most. Recruiting is the end all. Recruiting is the most important thing. It's why Dan Mullen is out of a job. It's why Lincoln Riley is at USC now. It's why Mario Cristobal is having success at Oregon. It's everything. If you're LSU, you can't have Brian Kelly hanging out in South Bend for another few weeks or even 1 week. They need that guy yesterday. He can't start soon enough. He has to be on the road, recruiting, keeping the recruits who are committed, and locking in new guys. Similarly, Notre Dame cannot afford to have coaches who are not recruiting for them right now. They can't afford to have Kelly out there kind of half-heartedly recruiting for Notre Dame while he's getting ready for his job at LSU. So it's not a matter of, hey, man, it's only another week. What would it take? What's another week going to kill you? It will. It will kill. They need to have guys out there. And then that's to say that Notre Dame would be in that spot anyway, which we don't know. I don't know, Coach. Like, where do you coach? Are you a Power 5 coach? Like, you would agree with me, right? If you were. I'm not in any way, Coach. Respect. Respect. I really respect coaches on every level. I'm just saying this is a different kind of level, and they might be playing a different game than you're playing where you're coaching. I'm sure you want to win. I'm sure you do it the right way. I'm sure you care about your players. I'm sure a national championship, wherever you are, Coach, would mean the world to you. But I just think, I don't know where you're coming from when you say, yeah, it's only another week. It's not just another week. Like, literally every hour matters right now to these guys and these schools and these programs.
Sir, in all honesty, it was ridiculous.
I mean, they got to be on the road right this second. Why do you think, as I mentioned, that Brian Kelly changed his Twitter background? And don't think social media is not the most important thing there is when it comes to recruiting, or one of them. Why do you think he changed that background so quickly? Because once it's out there, man, you better hit the ground running. I'm starting to get some reaction to the light beer question. Where do you go with it? Is there a big difference? Does it really matter? Hey, Rome Slice, light beers are ass. They lack flavor. They don't have higher alcohol content and do not require you to rock a man bun, flannel, and beard. Regards, IPA D-bags. It's fair. I tried the IPA route. That didn't work for me. Bacon is in. Quote, there is most definitely a large difference among all the light beers. Signed, the hundreds of Thanksgiving dinner plates posted on Twitter last Thursday. That did not answer my question, Bacon. Is there a difference? Which way do you lean? What is the difference? Hit me up. Got Mark Pope coming up next segment. You know, I feel like I do this every single week, but as good as the NFL season has been, there have been some real dogs in the primetime this year. I mean, there has been a proliferation, right, of garbage primetime matchups. Garbage. Frankly, last night was no exception. You got a 4-win Washington football team hosting the 3-win Seattle Seahawks. I mean, garbage.
Garbage.
If you didn't watch the game, good. This is the only thing you missed if you missed that game last night.
Fly with the extra point. It was blocked on the play, and it is picked up by Green. He's on the 30, far side, 40, broke a tackle down the far side with an entourage. He's at the 50, the 40, near sideline, foot race to the 30, the big man, the 20, near side 10, and into the end zone. He takes it through. That is unbelievable. It's 2 points for Seattle to tie the game at 9 on a kick that was blocked on an extra point try. And the big man, Rasheem Green, took it on a bounce and just flew down the near sideline after a block. And he blocked it, and he got the ball, both.
Block!
Westwood won. That pretty much tells you all you need to know about that game. Washington scores, then gets completely overrun on the point after. Seattle returns it for 2 points to tie the game, and that was the highlight of the game. I mean, yeah, there were a couple of other TDs, but that was by far the best moment, by far. So I know the folks involved had to figure out a way to hype that game and get eyeballs and get people to think that it's something other than garbage. You know, how do you put some lipstick on that pig? So they had to convince people that, oh, yeah, there's playoff implications here. One of these teams could be in the playoffs. A 4-win Washington team hosting a 3-win Seattle team, and they're talking about how one of these teams could be in the playoffs. And that's supposed to get me to watch. Yeah, that's not real enticing. In fact, that's infuriating. One of these teams could actually be in the postseason. Like, you're going to try and argue to me that there's a scenario where Seattle would get to play extra games?
Hey, Seattle.
I mean, can they not just pick up their marker and concede a game or the rest of the season? I'm sure Russell Wilson has thought about it, no matter what he'll say publicly. Like, parity is one thing, but saying Seattle could actually be a playoff team this year is another. Does anybody anywhere look that dumb? I mean, stop with that. Don't tell me Seattle had a chance to win the game either late. Not if they can't actually line up properly for an onside kick, which they thought they recovered, but didn't. Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
It's time to take a wrecking ball to it. Hey, Seattle. You had a hell of a run, but everything about this team right now screams rebuild. Hey, Seattle. Drop a bomb on it. Hey, Seattle. I hate to say it, but right now, Russ is not what he once was. Hey, Seattle, you know he doesn't want to be there.
Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle, you can't blame him either, man. Hey, Seattle, Russ has done everything he possibly can, including rush back from that injury. Hey, Seattle, he ain't right. Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
He can't even find DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf's like 7 feet tall, dude. He's like 7'1", 340 as a wide receiver, and he still can't get him the ball.
Hey,
Seattle, you know something's wrong. Hey, Seattle, how about this?
Seattle.
Hey, you think that sucks, Seattle? You think you're pissed now? What's he here? I'm about to drop on you, Seattle. Hey, Seattle, you now are keeping company with the Lions, the Jags, and the Texans. How's that grab you, Seattle?
Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle, look at the standings. Look at the win total. You are slumming with the Texans and the Lions and the Jags, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle, set it on fire. Hey.
Burning.
Hey, Bernie. Hey, Seattle, trade Russ, get draft picks, do the right thing, and start from there. Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
It's been a great run, but it's over. Hey, Seattle, this is hard to watch, man. That's a franchise with tradition and pride. I hate to see it go like that. Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
All good things must come to an end, but this is a really tough watch, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle, I'm not even saying that Russ is done as a quarterback. I still think that Russ can play at a high level. Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
He's just busted up, and that offense is completely broken.
Hey, Seattle.
It just doesn't work, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
Hey, I got an idea, though. I got an idea for Russ. I'm Team Russ. I like Russ. I've always liked Russ. And then there's a part of me, and I got to admit, hey, Seattle, no offense.
Seattle.
I took Washington plus one. Like, if I was into that sort of thing, I would have gone Washington plus one. Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
Maybe Russ, if you're not going to do the right thing, buy Russ, Seattle, and let him go. Maybe Russ can borrow Odell's dad's splicer to get him the hell out of there. Hey, Russ, maybe LeBron can tweet you out of Seattle. Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
I want out. Hey, Seattle, Seattle, do the right thing. Free Russ. Hey, Doc. Hey, Doc. Hey, Doc, put that pin back in my finger. Put me back on the IR. Obviously, hey, I came Seattle. Back too soon. I did it for the right reasons. I want to rejoin Seattle. The fight. I want to rejoin the fight, but it's not Seattle. Going well, Doc. Reinsert pin in finger, Doc. Hey, Seattle, hey, I'm about Seattle. To crack a funny. Wait for it. Legion of Boom? More like Legion of Whom?
Legion of Whom?
Not directed at you, Bobby Wagner. You're still the scariest dude alive.
Hey, Seattle.
My God, that guy's a monster. Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
That hurt you more than that hurt me. That didn't hurt me at all.
Hey, Seattle.
But watching you did. I mean, come on, they're a playoff team. You stop with that. Seriously, what do you do with Russ? They've got 3 wins. He's getting beaten down. He can't. I mean, he looks nothing like Russ. You know, for the longest time, you always assume Russ is Russ, and Russ is going to will this thing and impose his will, and it's going to go their way. I don't think that anymore. And I'm not even saying it's his fault. I still think the guy can play at a high level someplace else if he's healthy. But he's not. And he doesn't have what he needs around him. Do the right thing. Let him go. Got that, Seattle?
Hey, Seattle.
I'm looking at you, Peter. When we come back, I've got BYU head basketball coach Mark Pope. Change up. Talk some college ball with you. Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
Sorry, not sorry. If you're going to make me watch that, I'm going to have a few things to say about that. Are you ready to win some money? Are you ready to boost your odds? Win bet. Is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia. We are bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. I'm talking exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, tennis, and most importantly right now, the NFL and college football both. Tremendous promos, odds, payouts happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have exactly what you need to win. So log in to WynnBET right now and see all the latest football lines, including the Monday night matchup between New England and Buffalo. That's the game, right? How do you not want a piece of that action? Sign up right now. Receive a special offer. Risk-free. $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app right now or visit WYNNBET.com and start winning. The offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. You do have to be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If somebody you know has a gambling problem, or if you yourself do, call 1-800-522-4700.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, you know I'm always up for this. Always hyped for this. We are joined right now by the head basketball coach at BYU. He is in his third season with the Cougars. Led BYU back to the NCAA tournament last season for the first time since 2015. BYU looks great so far. They're number 12 in the AP poll. They're unbeaten at 6-0. They are at Utah Valley tomorrow. Their head coach is Mark Pope. Mark, it's been a minute or two. It's great to have you back. How are you doing, and how is your life right about now, Mark?
Well, I'm on your show right now, so my life is great, my friend.
My man.
Love coming on here. I'm such a huge fan.
I appreciate you saying that, Coach. That is great. I would say much the same about you. Mutual respect. So you are 6-0. You are number 12 in the AP poll. You just beat Utah by 11. Now you're getting ready to face Utah Valley, where you got your start as a head coach. How would you describe the juice, the vibe, the buzz, the energy around the program right now?
Well, it's a little bit of a renaissance here at BYU right now. So if you think about it, football ranked number 12 in the country, men's basketball ranked number 12, women's basketball ranked number 21. We just won going away the men's and women's cross-country national championships. Our women's team, soccer team, is in the Final Four this weekend. our women's volleyball. I mean, every single team on this campus right now, in the month of November, Jim, think about this. In the month of November, not one single BYU athletic team lost one single match.
Wow. Wow.
So it's super fun right now. There's a lot of juice, baby. It's fun.
Mark, that is amazing. Like, how do you explain that? Is that one of those things that's kind of inexplicable, or what's going on there? What's in the water? What's happening to produce those kind of results?
Well, listen, you know, in all college sports, man, the tide rises with football. And what Kalani Sitake is doing here at BYU football right now is so fun, and the juice is so high. And it's not just that he's winning big, but it's the way he's doing it. Like, he's just you can just feel the energy kind of flowing throughout the campus, and all of us benefit from it. Like, you know, I'm telling you, it's something special rolling recruits in to one of these football games and letting them just feel it. And this this rock we have here, I know it sounds like a BYU ad, but this student section we have is insane. We had a game against the NAIA team like 10 days ago. And we had like 9,000 students in our student section, packed from the front row all the way to the rafters, 15,000 people in the gym. It's a fun time right now to be a BYU Cougar, man.
That is great. BYU head basketball coach Mark Pope is joining us. You know, you mentioned Kalani. I love Kalani. I've got immense respect for Kalani. He comes on the show quite a bit, and we talk about these things. Mark, it makes sense to me that you would say that everybody else can feed off the success of the football program. What about Kalani? Does he have that kind of active interest in everybody else on campus and the other programs as well?
Yeah, he's unbelievable. So he is you know, just this little head coaches consortium we have here is really great. And, you know, we have so many talented coaches and, of course, incredible athletes here. And Kalani is a functional voice for all of us. And he certainly is so excited about, like, spreading the joy. We're not living in silos in this athletic department, and so it makes it a really special place to work.
All right, so, Mark, this is interesting. I could talk to you, and if we have time, I will. There's a couple of guys I want to talk to you about on the team, and we could talk about what you're building there. But when you talk about juice and energy and vibe, I want to go back to last season for a moment, because this, to me, is really indicative of what you're building there and what the energy is like. When you guys were at the tournament, the program went viral for the hype video before the COVID test. And then the videos when the players got trapped in the elevator, I loved it so much. And the reason I bring this up, one, I loved it so much, but I literally could not wait to get home, break out my phone, show it to my wife, and show it to my teenage son. And, you know, frankly, they don't really know who we're talking about. They know the program. They may know you. They loved it. They loved it like it was transcendent, and we just watched it over and over and over again. How do you go about developing those types of relationships, and what's it like to have that kind of energy and that love amongst the players?
Well, Jim, you know, we talk about this every day here, is trying to have the best locker room in America. We believe if we can have the best locker room in America, that we're going to be competitive every single game, every single year. And that's super hard to do. It takes a ton of effort. It takes having the right guys here and then having all the guys being willing to fight to buy in every day. And it's a cocktail that you have to work on every day. And it's just the basics of the team. We just say best locker room in America, but you can use any team leadership logo you wanted to. But you see little moments like that where our guys are just rallying around each other in the moment, and it translates onto the court 100%. I believe our special sauce is how these guys come in every day trying to put aside their own agenda to fight for this team. Those words pour out of each of our guys' mouths every day and every conversation they have, and I think it pays dividends. And, you know, the strength of a team is a special thing. And, you know, those little moments at the NCAA tournament last year, that was a little bit transcendent, because this COVID was an experience everyone in the world was trying to fight through, right? Something we were all struggling with, and It was fun. It was a great time.
Well, Mark Pope, my guest, it was something we were all struggling with and trying to fight through, but I had never seen a group of guys so fired up to get COVID tests. Like, what did you say to your team and the culture that they were so hyped to get in line to get their tests?
So we spent a lot of time trying to, like, just have enthusiasm to be with God, right? And so it actually was super organic. Interestingly enough, I don't know what, it was like 10:30. We were like one of the last teams that day to go get tested just because of how schedule worked. So you think about it, you know, we were stuck in the hotel. We're quarantined in the hotel for a week, which everybody had to do. Thank goodness that they let us do it so we could actually play the tournament. Totally worth it. But you just think you're quarantined for all that time, and then it's, you've practiced and film and meetings all day, and 10 or 10:30, you're going to take this COVID test for the 10,000th time. And then it was just super organic. It was our guys. It was just like, it was the heart of our guys, and just trying to take something that's incredibly mundane and disturbing. And honestly, we had some PTSD from the year before, and they canceled the tournament. And so those guys just trying to, like, seize the moment and make something that's tough, make it great. And it was awesome.
Hey, Mark Manskew, is the leader of the group, is the guy that they feed off of. I mean, are you naturally like this? Are you shot out of bed every single morning feeling like this? Or are there days maybe where you're like, hey, man, I got to get to that place because I'm not there right now, and they're going to be looking to me to get some of that from me?
Well, that's a long question. That's a long answer question. But short answer is, it's something we take really seriously and we work really hard at, right? So I think it's an important part of what we do. In fact, Jim, I'll tell you this. So with what you saw last year, my team, one of our core principles is joy in the gym, that it's our job to manufacture joy in the gym. To remember how much we love this game. We talk about joy in the gym all the time. My team graded me out as a D- last year, bringing joy to the gym. And
wow.
It's something we take really seriously. It's important how we function. And so I'm actually trying to make a massive comeback this year for my team to bring more joy to the gym. And so no, it doesn't. You're not just made that way. We all have to work at it.
Dude, I'm going to give you an A for joining the interview. Like, what was happening that you got a D- last year? And were you even aware that you barely had a passing grade in joy for the gym?
Well, yes, it was hard. I mean, you know, we think, and everyone went through the same experience, right? Not only are you dealing with all the things that the whole world's dealing with, but you're dealing with the kind of everyday stress of what the test is going to return. And, you know, we actually did four, during the season, we did four full game installs. We had turned around the plane twice, and then we actually were in the gym. We were on the bus walking into shoot around at San Diego, and we got turned around. And so, and then dealing with everything that had come the year before, just in our tiny little slice of the world, this little basketball world, it was hard for everybody. And so I think I probably didn't deal with that stress as well as the team needed me to. But you know, we're all getting better. We're trying to get better every day, and certainly I need to get better.
I'll tell you what I love about that, Mark Pope, my guest, is that you've got this culture, and even as a leader, that the kids, like, they're strong enough in their conviction to say, hey, coach, I mean, this is the message we're getting from you, right? But we're going to give you a D-, and you're going to own it and say, you know what, I got to do better. We all got to do better. We're trying to get better every single day. One more thing I want to ask you about, like, this is something that I hate to be the old guy here, Mark, like, get off my lawn kind of guy, but I think this is interesting. You brought the suit back this year. I personally, I love that. Mick Cronin came on the show earlier this season. He said it was important to him to be rocking suits as well. Why is that something you want to do?
Well, you know, we struggle with it. My staff is so mad at me that we have to wear suits. They almost had it. You know, they almost turned on me, but I didn't exactly know why. There's a couple reasons. One is I don't want to have any part of COVID. Like, I want to get done with COVID, and wearing, for me, like wearing a polo or a three-quarter zip or whatever, it just, like, brings back moments of COVID. So that's one. And two is, like, there is this old school, like, I grew up this way. I know I'm getting old, but, like, the respect that we get to walk into the gym and show to the fans and our opponent and our players, I know it's so old school and outdated, but it just is in me. And, like, I wear a suit to church every Sunday, and this court on game day is a sacred place to me, and so it just feels right to me. And I'm not gonna lie to you,
Bro, I look great in a suit, man. Let's go.
Yeah, you do, dude. You do. Look good, feel good. Feel good, coach good, man. I got no problem with that at all. I love that. You do look great in a suit. All right, so you're unbeaten. San Francisco is unbeaten. St. Mary's is always a battle. They're 7-1. Of course, you got Gonzaga. They're 7-1. They're number three. When you look around the conference this year, the WCC, how tough is it?
My goodness, it's tough. Yeah, and you didn't mention Santa Clara, who's already had
huge wins. Yes.
One at Stanford, BTCU. And then, interesting enough, Jim, the team that we all expect to be a team that's fighting for a top three position in this league is Loyola Marymount. Now, they haven't had a great start to the season, but they're loaded and they're good. So this conference is deeper than it's ever been. It's gonna be just brutal. It's actually super exciting, man. This is where we've all wanted to be as a conference. We owe so much to these Gonzaga Bulldogs because they are just forcing us all to raise the level of our play to just try and stay in the same universe as those cats. And it's fun because this conference is growing. Our commissioner's done a great job. The coaches in the league are great, and the universities have dedicated some resources to getting better.
You know, Mark, finally, I went to school at UCSB, so I'm a Big West guy. So I understand, like, I'm not even going to go to, like, mid-major or whatever. I think your conference is amazing. I think there is so much depth and competition in that conference. Like, when you look at Gonzaga, it's easy now to get kind of caught up in what Mark Few's done there. Just step back. Can we just step back for a minute and think about the behemoth and the monster that he built there? Could that ever be replicated anywhere else in a program that size?
The thing, it's never happened before. And the thing is, like, you've seen some programs raise up and be great for a couple of years, right? But he just, it's every single year. And the worst thing about it is Mark is like the best human being in the world. So you can't even be mad at him for it. Like, he's all about this sport. He represents it so well. And there's no words for what he's doing there, right? You know, and now, you know, he was doing it with talent from other places in the world. And now he's just getting the number one recruited player in the country every year, right? And so it's at Gonzaga. Like, you're right. When you take a step back, it just is, it's staggering. With all that said, we got to find a way to beat these guys. We have to find a way to beat them.
Yeah, and what's amazing, with all that said, you guys are number 12 in the poll. You're unbeaten, and you got to look at this thing. And I know that you're not going to take a step back or give in. You're never going to say, hey, they're Gonzaga, so we'll play for next best. Man, you're in it to win it, and it's going to be amazing to see how it plays out. He is the head basketball coach at BYU. This is why I started the interview by saying I always look forward to this, and this is why I just busted the clock up and ran heavy. Mark, you are the man. I got much respect for you, and it's always great to have you on this show. I'm glad we got caught up.
Super great for you. Thanks for telling these kids stories, man. It's awesome.
You got it, Mark. Thanks so much. Appreciate you. Grateful for the opportunity. It really was. It's amazing what's going on at BYU right now. I love the way he laid that out, that they didn't lose a single match in any sport during the month. But the scene last year when they could not wait and were hyped to get their COVID tests, and that scene in the elevator is one of my favorite moments ever in college basketball, when they were trying to get a teammate out and they're trying to get that thing open and they're all fighting with everything they've got. And they're just like, yes, sir! Yes, sir! Me and Logan Rome were yes-sirring each other for weeks after that. Yes, sir! It's fun stuff. Logan Mark Pope. Hey, how could Mark Pope get a D- in joy for the gym? He's all joy. And I love they still rocking a suit and said, hey, man, let's be real about this. I look good in a suit. You do, coach. All right, let's get out, take a break. You see, there are those interviews that make it so much better. That's one of those guys. Be quiet, Alvin. Dude, tweet billboard. All right, Alvin. You're interrupting. Alvin, I'm going to give you an F for joy in the studio. How's that sound, dude?
Full timeout!
For the ones who get it, dude, I'm just doing my job. Yeah, well, F. F minus for joy in the studio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. Time now for a sports update. Rich, I am sorry. It's all yours.
See?
Flash.
I'm going to tell you, we talk a fair amount of BYU sports on this program. They've got some strong programs on that campus. And that rivalry with Utah is fierce. We talk Utes. I like it. Salt Lake has always been a strong market for the Jungle. I'll never forget my first appearance there. I think it's great. And it's not easy to find a guy like Mark Pope. That is a great, great Jungle guest. Your thoughts on that? All right, so last segment, we are open. It's going to be short, but you can get in here. JR in Oceanside did. Romy, stick a fork in the Seahawks. And not just their season. Russ ain't cooking jack. Pete's gum is finally out of juice. Legion of Boom is long gone. DK Metcalf has a baby binky for a mouthpiece. End of an era. Where is that 12th man now? Smell ya. JR in Oceanside. That's what I'm talking about. Even if you don't agree with that, that's a guy with a take. Similar to my take. Except Bobby Wagner, man. He still is ferocious. Still scares the hell out of me. God, this guy can lay that lumber. He is a monster. I'm not saying, okay, right now I agree. Russ ain't cooking jack right now. Russ ain't right. Russ is not right, and I think that Russ can once again be right. Who am I to say? I don't think he's healthy. And I think it's affecting everything he's doing, and everything he's doing is affecting that offense, and I think they've had their run. I think it's time. Bust that thing up. Rebuild that thing. Give him a chance to do it someplace else. This says, do not burn him out. I'm so piped. You're piped. I can hear it. Everybody's piped. Let that man roll over everybody. Bruce in the gene. Romy, I've been at my job 15 years. If another employer called and offered me twice as much as I make now, but I had to quit right now and could not give 2 weeks' notice, I would leave and apologize to absolutely no one.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Sincerely, every person out there except for the 15-year football coach. Jason in Louisville. I'm going to tell you something. I can even personalize this. Remember our guy Kyle Brandt. Kyle Brandt was here for a long time. Kyle Brandt was an amazing, amazing talent and Jungle member. And I knew, like, I was KB's biggest fan. I knew for a fact he was going to get his thing and he was going to tear it up one day. He got an opportunity, but they, like, needed him in New York City in under a week. And he came to me one day and said, hey, Jim, man, I'm sorry to do this, but I got to go. I got to go, and they need me there yesterday. I'm like, okay, great, dude. Congrats, man. That's amazing. Like, so when? A few weeks? He's like, no, like 4 days. And I'm like, I get it, bro. It's going to be hard, but I get it. Go. So, like, I understand. If somebody comes to you, and you've been a great employee, but they're offering you an amazing opportunity, better than the one you have, you're going to go. You want to handle it a certain way. But if your future employer or your next employer is not saying you can have a month, you can have 3 weeks, you can even have 2 weeks, what they're saying is you're our guy, but we need you here yesterday, then I get it. And that guy's exactly right. Quote, I've been at my job for 15 years. If another employer called and offered me twice as much as I make right now, but I had to quit right now and not give 2 weeks notice, I would leave and apologize to absolutely no one. That's kind of what Brian Kelly did, except he did apologize. He just said that his love for the young men was limitless, which was not really true. But you know what? By the way, I don't really know what he made at Notre Dame, but I bet that offer probably was double what he was making. So if you're going to offer a guy double what he's making and he's never won that national championship there. And he's seeing a situation where he thinks he can win a national championship. And they're going to double his salary. And they're saying, we need you here yesterday. Hell yes, he's going to go. And so would everybody else. And so would you. Those things never go well. And they're never handled the right way, as much as you want to try and handle them the right way. H of Spillane tweets, Rome. Can we hear Rich Smackerman defending his radio engineer union brother, Alvin, as you went to break? Phenomenal.
Sports Flash.
This will give Alvin a hard time. LSU searched for a while to find...
Wait, run that back again.
Sports Flash.
This will give Alvin a hard time. LSU searched for a while to find his next coach and was able...
Let me tell you something, Rich. Dude, I've had your back forever. I'm not saying you have to pick a side, but you damn well better pick a side. These clones are tearing you up, Rich. Who's had your back, man? This guy. Just kidding, Rich. Do the right thing, Rich. You don't want to end up doing updates in the middle of the night. Just kidding, bro. I don't have that kind of juice. Chris in Milwaukee. Dear Russell Wilson, don't worry. You're not the only person in the NFL whose finger has managed to derail this team's season. Regard Urban Meyer.
That was devastating.
I don't even understand that. Oh, I get it. Like, you mean like a buttocks thing? The Pervin Urban thing. The Pervin Liar thing. I get it. I think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. From the professional parts people that you know you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Eric in Southside, quickly. I like it when Utah. Sign Bell B in Calgary. Well done, Eric.
I love when Utah hockey.
I love when Utah. I see what you did there. My thanks to Mark Pope, Jimmy Ward, Dan Wetzel. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.